10th chapter. Let's look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her or command her that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you're troubled, you're careful, you're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I want to talk to you just for a few moments tonight about something that's so very important. The name has nothing to do with anyone in this church. It just happened to be two sisters, and one's name happened to be Martha, and she had a certain way of thinking and living and doing, and there was a Mary. And as I looked at these two women with two somewhat different lifestyles, two different insights came to us from Jesus. In fact, we're talking about the balances of life. It's interesting to notice, and this really ministered to me early the other morning when I got into the Word of God. There was a certain village. There was a certain home. There was a certain woman named Martha. And there was a certain personal welcome. And Martha did something that many people refused to do. Martha received Jesus into the house. That's a good head start, right? Martha received Jesus into the house, invited Jesus into the house. Martha was the original contact. She was the original point person who invited Jesus into the house. And there was a certain sister named Mary. But there was a certain definite contrast in their life. And I hear some people just really put Martha down. I've heard it through the years, preached about every way you could preach it. But you've got to remember one thing. Martha had the perception. Martha had the graciousness. Martha had whatever it took to invite Jesus into the house. But as we look at Mary, Martha invited Jesus into the house, but literally, Mary invited Jesus into her heart. And yet, as you look at both women love Jesus. And as you look at churches today, you could not run a church or a ministry without a lot of Marthas. I know some people are so spiritual, they'd never sing in the choir. They would never greet at the door. Some people have told me they're called to foreign missions, called to be a missionary at home. And I said, wonderful. See Brother Craig McClintock. And let's master missions at home before we export it. There ain't nothing righteous about going overseas or crossing the border. It's your heart. And a soul is a soul. As much as we believe in foreign missions and as much as we support missions, someone said a little disparaging remark one time, about a year or so ago, about black folks. I said, let me tell you something. I said, this church has more to do with black people. This church has more to do with ministering to black people. This church spends more money, missions, television stations, missionaries. This church is more heavily involved with black communities, not just locally, but all over the world, than any church that I know of. I'll tell you what impresses me about somebody, regardless of the color of the skin, when somebody says, I not only love Jesus, but I love a soul, because a soul is a soul is a soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. So we're partners with a lot of ministries. Pop off to me about our love and our allegiance. Bless God, a soul is a soul wherever you, a soul is a soul here in Fort Worth. A soul's a soul in Dallas. We got third world situations right under our nose, not that far away. Just as we have third world situations overseas. This church has gotten its hands dirty for years with red, yellow, black, white, whatever it may be. We started this. This is in the fifth year of our church, and we're almost 40 years old. We started going out into the highways and the hedges and loving the unlovable and putting clothes on those that didn't have sufficient clothing and doing medical things and buying groceries and helping people and doing the things that really help. We've been doing that for, we're almost 40 years old as a church. We've been doing that for 35 years. We didn't start this last week or last month. Getting our hands dirty. Our little old church, we had it all painted up and slicked up in that post office. We finally got it looking decent. And I'll tell you, when we started bringing people in from the north, the south, the east, the west, the highways, the hedges, some people came and said, Brother, we're getting fingerprints on the halls of our church. We just worked hard to paint this, get this post office looking good. And I said, I'd rather have fingerprints on the halls of the church than fingerprints on the halls of hell. Oh, praise God. Where there's no oxen, the stall is clean, but where there's oxen, there's going to be some shoveling going on. You understand that? There's integrity in this house. And we do what we say we're going to do. We don't mind getting our hands dirty. And we not only do it, but we keep on doing it. We don't just do it when somebody's watching us. We don't just do it because we're under pressure. We do it because God said do it, and we keep on doing it. You've got to have Martha's to have a church, to have a ministry. Someone had to drive those buses when we were running 14 buses. We're working it in a different way, but we're still going into the highways and the hedges. Somebody had to drive those buses. We had like a little airplane. We had flight attendants on those buses. We had a hospitality host on those. I mean, we had a crew of four, 3 to 4 on every bus that went out. And we did it in a very unique and a very unusual way. And we began to bring people in that our church had never seen before, but God had seen them before, and God blessed us. But what I'm saying about the Marthas, you've got to have workers. You've got to have workers. There's a balance in what I'm telling you here tonight. It's both of it, really. You say, well, who's right, Mary and Martha? You see, because then finally Martha said, Jesus, I don't understand. Why won't you get my sister straightened out? I'm having to do all the serving, and Mary won't do it. Well, Mary might have had a special need. If that's all she did, then we need to work on Mary some too. There's both sides of it. If you got a church that's works only and no sitting at the feet of Jesus, you got another problem. You know, it's slick copy. You're just building it according to church growth principles. And that does not guarantee spirituality or the gifts of the Spirit or being sensitive to the things of God. So as I look at this certain sister, her name was Martha, and she had a sister, and her name was Mary. And the sister Martha received Jesus into her house. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to receive Jesus into your house. Everybody agreed on that? That's a wonderful thing to invite Jesus into your home. But Mary received Jesus into her heart. How? The Bible said she sat at Jesus' feet and she listened to his word. Both are important. Can you imagine what a house would look like if a woman did nothing except read her Bible and pray? She never cleaned the kitchen. She never cleaned the rooms, never ran the vacuum cleaner, never put a little disinfectant on certain parts of the house? Can you imagine what a house would look like and smell like if somebody sat in a chair 24 hours a day and just woke up long enough to eat a little food and just pray and sit at the feet of Jesus? Yet both are important. And if you're all works, you get off the track. And if you're all super spiritual, you know, witnessing is not my thing. You know, that prayer tower is not my thing. You know, I have my own time of prayer. We received a precious letter from a college student in Dallas. She's disabled and on a certain disability, but she sent a check for $25. I just got it, opened the envelope last night and read it for the staff today. And she said, I want you to know that, she said, for 6 months, the power tower has been a lifeline to me. And she said, what I appreciate, I'm not a member of Calvary. I live in North Dallas. But she said, every time I call, somebody ministers to me. Somebody helps me. People are always kind. No one has ever been unkind. And she said, it's just been a lifeline. And she said, when I graduate from college, I want to move over to Fort Worth. And she said, I want to attend your church. Because I've been ministered to by the phone, ministered by prayer. See, now there, see, there you go. It's all of it. It's all of it. What if all we did, we just sat in the pew and said, all I do is just, I worship God. I won't sing. I won't give. I won't go. I'll never run. I'll never greet. I just walk in, set my bad self down in this pew. Don't bother me. I'm communicating with my Lord. That's an imbalance. It takes all of it. I said it takes all of it. It takes all of it. But the problem was that Martha was troubled. Now see, there's your problem with Martha. She was careful, full of care, and troubled about many things. Church, hear me tonight. Don't let the devil overload you with the cares of this life. Don't let the devil trouble you. Man, all of us have that opportunity. All of us have. I mean, last week, dear Lord, I had some tremendous opportunities because we had one of the most powerful missionary television stations in the world, and I couldn't get anybody to listen to us. We were calling and we were emailing. We were saying, hey, we got a part going out. It's going to pull the whole, we're going to have to shut the thing down until we can get major repair. Somebody hear us. Somebody help us. And it just seemed like all we got was a deaf ear. And I almost let the care and the trouble of that get on top of me. We have a big investment over there. And somebody's got to care. Brother Charles and it was communications. Brother Gary Everett was doing everything he knew how to do. But you see, here's what we have to watch. Whether it's in pastoring a church, working on a church staff, raising children, or running a business, be careful not to become charged with the cares of this life. There's so much to learn from this 10th chapter of Luke. You can have a good heart and be headed in the right direction, but you can get overcome and your mind is overloaded. And just like those old fuses used to just flip out at the switch box because your circuit's overloaded. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen to me, church, whatever level you're on, whatever level you're involved with, let not your heart be troubled. It's His work. It's His kingdom. The government is on His shoulder. It's ours to believe. It's ours to hold steady. It's ours to stand in the hedge and make up the gap. But the kingdom is on His shoulder. Boy, there's a lot of opportunities in working for a church to get offended or to be frustrated. But you know, there's a lot of opportunities working in the public. I mean, somebody's always mad at somebody. Union's always mad at management. Management's always, you know, frustrated with, you know, with union. They're just always, you get into, there's very few situations in the marketplace where somebody's not mad at somebody for something, real or imagined. Now, I know I'm bouncing back and forth, but church, God wants us to see the balance. We've got to have the Marthas. We must have the Marthas. We must have those that are willing to give of their time, their talent, Not just experience goosebumps. Somebody's got to be responsible in the ongoing progress of the church. But if all that is, or all it turns out to be, is works, and now I'm mad at everybody else because they don't work like I work, and everybody doesn't have the vision I have, and don't they see how hard I'm working to keep this church going? And I mean, you can just get yourself all wound up, and I mean, you can just flip out, overcharged with the cares and the troubles of life. You preach this stuff, you talk big, you're a big shot, you pop, you know, you're popping off, put your money where your mouth is. But then I have to get back and say, wait a minute. God can run this church. God can run our missions. God can do what needs to be done. God will raise up somebody or several somebodies who have the answer. Boy, the day's coming. The day's coming. We have some folks that do well. But the first thing you got to realize, every millionaire doesn't tithe. Thank God for the offerings and thank God for everything about us. But I tell you, God's going to give me some folks that say, Pastor, call me. Call me when there's a pressing need. Call me if our television station needs some repairs. Call me if we need something to be done. Just call me. Just call me. Boy, you get a few people like that around you. Praise God. I've had people that said that, and I called them and they did what they said they were going to do. I've called some others and said, well, things have changed since I talked to you last. Well, I've been there too. I've been just about everywhere you can be. But you know, the other night I said, God, you started this church. God, you started our outreaches. God, you raised up the prayer ministry. I had to break the door down, break the lock when we first started the prayer ministry in the old prayer tower. Devil locked the door. Thought he, you can lock a door, Satan, but you can't keep us from praying. Just like you. You can put us in a situation of being disadvantaged for a while, but you're not going to stop the work of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So I'm not being trying to be eloquent or fancy with it, but I'm just saying, you've got to have Marthas to run a church. You've got to have help. You must. There's precious people that are working with our children, working with boys and girls. There's precious people that don't get as much church as you get because they're working for the Lord. Yet if they get overloaded and overcharged, then that's going to be a drain on them, see. So here's what Jesus said. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Never serve more than your walk with God. Never get more cumbered down than your relationship and your fellowship with God. Until you start spending time with God, one scripture will set you free. Oh, one morning God opened up Isaiah, for the Lord God will help me. Whew. I was on my way. That's when we prayed real early, 5:45 in the morning, you know. And that meant we were up early getting ready for that. The Lord God will help me. Martha was cumbered about. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you're just full of care. You're just troubled about too many things. Boy, there's a lot to be troubled about around a church. I mean, potentially, they're, everything doesn't go like all of us want it to go. Someone said, well, there's some things right. I met with a guy. He said, some things need to change around here. I said, my list is longer than yours. But I said, I need you to be patient and hold steady with me while we get some, while we're tweaking, we're making some changes. It may be slow, but you don't turn a ship around, do a 180. You start degrees at a time. Well, He didn't have any patience. He thought everything ought to be on his time schedule. Can't help that. Martha, you're careful. You're troubled about many things. Let me just ask you this tonight. I've slipped into that zone, and I've had to get a grip on myself and speak the word of God. Is there anything you're filled with care about tonight? Is there anything that you're in the trouble? You know, your faith doesn't work well in the troubled zone. Amen. Your faith doesn't work real well there. You're troubled about many things. And then he swings back to Mary. But one thing is, it's always needful. It's needful for the Marys. It's needful for the Marthas. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. See, that was the thing that Martha needed more of. Here's the balance. Which shall not be taken away from her. What was it? Well, the Bible said that she, in verse 39, sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. Church, please get this in your spirit tonight. We need to sit at Jesus' feet. Get up, get you some hot tea or some hot coffee or whatever you do in the morning. Just get up and just sit at his feet while your spirit is quiet. I found out I can get far more from God when my spirit's quiet than when my spirit's busy. You don't run into the presence of God and demand to get yourself some special anointing. But it's amazing just sometimes sitting in a chair. I know you have to search for those quiet places. Have a friend that has a brand new to him, $450,000. Someone passed away and he was blessed with the body part of their heart. He helped us so much on Berry Street. He's out of state now, in another state. And I said, man, you're not the same guy as you were. He said, yeah. He said, all you taught us before we left, he said, it didn't click in until I got away. He said, you taught us faith. You taught me faith. But, and he was a sharp businessman. But he said, it didn't click until I got away. But he said, it really clicked when I think it was about 2 years ago, got a new heart. He said, every day is a new day. Every day is a gift from God. Not a bypass, brand new heart. You got to have the right type, the right blood, the right tissue, the right, $450,000, maybe $500,000. But he's alive. And he said, you know how I start every day, Pastor Bob? Talked to him yesterday. He said, I start the day praising the Lord. He said, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. He said, I praise God at every given opportunity. All I have to do is put my hand on my chest and I've got a big reason to praise the Lord. I've got a new heart. I've got a new lease on life. My heart was only operating at less than 10%. Now, he said, I have a new lease on life. I'm praising the Lord in the morning. I'm praising the Lord in the middle of the night. I'm praising the Lord when I go to bed. He said, I praise the Lord all the time and I don't care what anybody in business has to say about it. He said, I'm alive because of the Lord. You see, she sat at his feet and she heard his word. Two things. Some people pray a lot, but they don't have much to do with the word of God. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to read the Bible. Everybody needs to read some word. You say, well, I've got too many kids. I've got too bad a job. I mean, I've got all this. You better get a grip on yourself. You're out of gas and you don't know it. Amen. Look in the mirror. See that blank stare. You're troubled. You're overloaded with care. Church, we can't evangelize the world troubled and overloaded with care. Yet you can't win the world, but just work, 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 all the time, all the time. Work, 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 work. I knew a man that did a marvelous work with children. I guess he still is. But he totally neglected his wife and refused to live in a decent home. He had to live in the middle of crud. That's the best I could say. In New York. Cold water flat. His wife was raped twice and finally she said, I can't handle anymore. He's never at home. He doesn't take care of us. He won't watch over us. And then he went around and said, oh, I'm so persecuted. My wife left me. Well, I don't blame that woman. My Lord, she paid a price that very few women would have put up with. You see it? But his whole theme, if you talk, I'm working for Jesus, working for, it's just all over his face. But I wonder what's going on in his heart. Could it be that we can win people to Jesus and be a zero spiritually? Is that where our self-worth is? We work, we work, we work, 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 work. Sit at Jesus' feet. Listen to his word. I'm giving you some balance tonight. Both are needed. You got to have the Marthas. You got to have the Marys. You need a little bit of Martha. You need a little bit of Mary. You need a lot of Martha sometimes. And, you know, sometimes you need more of Martha than Mary. Sometimes you need more of Mary than Martha. But you run out of gas. You have nothing to give. You get to the point to where you're just existing. You're just going through the motions. If you don't sit at his feet and listen to his word. Because the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And I must give you this, and with this thought, in the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel, verse 42, but one thing is needful. How many believe if Jesus said something's needed, it's needed? Okay, point made. And Mary hath chosen. First of all, he said it's good. And number two, it will not be taken away from her. No tow truck's going to pull up and take this away. No person from the mortgage company can come up and take this away. No bank is forced into a position of having to repossess something because of pain. He said she's chosen something that is good, and she's chosen something that will not be taken away from her. My mother paid a price, and I'm preaching the gospel tonight. Joy's mother paid a price. I can still see her going across the road, morning prayer meetings, Joy. Our mothers paid a price in prayer. That's why you're a woman of prayer. Your mother was a woman of prayer. Our mothers paid a price in prayer, and we're in the ministry. And God's kept us, and the best is yet to come. Say it with me. Marthas are needed. And so are Marys. I'm going to learn the lesson of balance from Luke chapter 10. But when it's all said and done, I want to choose that good thing. Sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus' word, because nothing can take that away.